From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, although today is a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, in which I want to do a deep dive on Islam. We are now officially in Ramadan, and for Muslims, this is a very significant time of the year. It is a time in which Muslims are kind to one another, but quite a different story unfolds when it comes to what they call the unbelievers. And I'll cash that out for you in just a moment. As always, our website, equip.org, you can find the resources that we make available on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letter CRI. The resource of the month, Saving Truth, by a former Muslim, Abdu Murray. The book subtitled Finding Meaning and Clarity in a Post-Truth World. Again, available for those who support the ministry all this month. Check it out on the web at equip.org. But just when you think that Islamic terror is dead, we are reminded in a very graphic way that it is very much alive. Tragically, of course, its victims are not. And so on Saturday evening, a Muslim terrorist killed a man and injured four others before himself was shot by police, according to the BBC. And the Islamic State claimed that it was behind the terror. I think that's significant in that we hear so many reports about the Islamic State being dead. It is not. More than 230 people have been killed in France by the Islamic State, by their inspired jihadists. And that's just in the past 3 years alone. In this case, the attacker began stabbing passersby at about 9 p.m. and, of course, shouting the now infamous slogan, Allahu Akbar. Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch reported that this global Islamic jihadist was a Muslim migrant who had been on a French watch list of people who could pose a terror to national security. But what good is a watch list if no one's watching the people on it? Or are there just too many for the French authorities to keep track of them all? Well, a stated goal of the Islamic State is, of course, to overwhelm Western police and intelligence until the apparatuses collapse, and they're well on their way to succeeding in places like Sweden and France. Well, that was Saturday, just this last Saturday. And then on Sunday, according to the Associated Press, members of a family bombed three Indonesian churches, killing at least seven and injuring at least 41. And again, the Islamic State claimed responsibility for the attacks. The attacks occurring within minutes of each other. The first, a Muslim father, drives a bomb-laden car directly into a Pentecostal church. His sons, and think about the ages, 16 and 18, ride a motorcycle onto the grounds of the Santa Maria Church and detonated their explosives there. And then the mother and her two young daughters, aged 9 and 12, attack yet another Christian church, this time wearing explosives around their waists. And then Sunday evening, according to Time magazine, three more Muslims, a mother, a father, and one of their three children, perpetrate an explosion that takes the lives of the perpetrators at an apartment just kilometers from the Surabaya churches there in India. And then on Monday morning this week. So all of this is happening in very, very close proximity to Ramadan. On Monday morning, another bombing killed at least four people and injured 10 others. This attack perpetrated by a Muslim family of five, and in this case, includes an 8-year-old child. Robert Spencer again asked the operative question, when was the last time you heard about a family of Christians committing mass murder at three mosques? Of course, you've never heard of such a thing. There is no equivalent in the Bible to the Quranic ayah. Indeed, Allah has purchased from the believers their lives and their properties, for that they will have paradise. They fight in the cause of Allah, so they kill and are killed. And as Ayan Hirsi Ali has well said, jihad means to war against non-Muslims. It is etymologically derived from a word which signifies warfare to establish the religion. And while Sharia acknowledges that the greater jihad is spiritual warfare against the lower self, most of Sharia law is devoted to prescribing what it means to wage war against non-Muslims. I want to quote Reliance of the Traveler, a classic manual of Islamic sacred law, because here you have it, as it were, from the horse's mouth. The scriptural basis for jihad, says the Reliance of the Traveler, is derived from such Quranic verses as, fighting is prescribed for you. Quran 2. Slay them wherever you find them. Quran 4. Fight the idolaters utterly. Quran 9. And such hadith as the one related by Bukhari and Muslim, that the Prophet said, I have been commanded to fight people until they testify that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and perform the prayer and pay the zakat. If they say it, well, they have saved their blood and possessions from me, except for the rights of Islam over them, and their final reckoning is with Allah. And the hadith reported by Muslim to go forth in the morning or evening to fight in the path of Allah is better than the whole world and everything in it. Since Sharia ordinances find their origin in the words of Allah and in the life and practices of Muhammad, remember, they are not subject to change or alteration over time. So clearly, it is not the dark night of the soul that predominates Sharia. That's for Western consumption. It's the sharp edge of the sword. We do well to remember that Muhammad, the itinerant Meccan preacher, converted fewer than 200 people by means of the word. But conversely, Muhammad, the Medinan warlord, constricted more than 100,000 by means of the sword. In the 14 centuries that followed his death, Islamic warfare against the kuffars, against the unbelievers, has claimed the lives of at least a quarter of a billion non-Muslims, 60 million of whom were followers of Jesus Christ. And when a devotee asked Muhammad, "What is the best deed?" Muhammad replied, "To believe in Allah and His apostle." And then when he asked, "What is next in goodness?" Muhammad replied, "To participate in religious fighting in the cause of Allah." So in essence, the world, according to Sharia, is divided then into two domains: the House of Islam, Dar al-Islam, and the House of War, Dar al-Harb, those who already live under Sharia, and those who are predestined to Sharia subjugation. And this is not radical Islam. It is just plain run-of-the-mill Islam. Sharia describes jihad as a communal obligation, a communal obligation the objective of which is to invite infidels to enter Islam in faith and practice, or else pay the non-Muslim poll tax. It's called a jizya. If infidels neither convert nor pay, well, then war is prescribed. The famous Quranic passage 929, "Fight those who do not believe in Allah in the last day and who forbid not what Allah and His messengers have forbidden, who do not practice the religion of truth, being of those who have been given the book until they pay the poll tax out of hand and are humbled." What should be plain to all with eyes wide open is that the consensus of Muslim jurisprudence mandates holy war in the name of Allah as a moral imperative. And as the pioneering Maliki legal scholar Ibn Khaldun put it, in the Muslim community, the holy war is a religious duty. Because of the universalism of the Muslim mission to convert everybody to Islam, either by persuasion or by force. And that jihadi prescription was personified by the life of Muhammad, but it tragically did not end there. When we come back from the break, I want to give you a little litany in years of what happened following the death of Muhammad. But remember, as we go through this month, the month of Ramadan, it will be touted with great accolade by Western scholars in the news media. It will be likened, likened to what happens during Lent for Christians. This is a time of fasting from dawn to dusk. No sex during the day, no food during the day. But this is very, very different, because the kindness, once again, that Muslims exert during this month is towards other Muslims. This is a time in which they are invoked to read the Quran. They should finish it within the month, within the time of Ramadan. They have the opportunity to read all of the surahs that invoke mayhem against Christians and Jews. No wonder that we see so many terrorist attacks during this time period. Again, the terrorist attacks have already kicked off early, and we can expect more. But all of this will be sanitized by people in the West who are singing a mantra and want you to sing along as well, and that is that Islam is a religion of peace. It is not. There may be millions and millions of peaceful Muslims, but Islam is most certainly not a religion of peace and tolerance. I've written about this in my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. You can find the book online at equip.org, bookstores everywhere. But when you order through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, 100% of the proceeds go to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can also order via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And my thanks to all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Without you, we could not air broadcasts like this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you have not as yet joined the team financially, you can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web. Again, equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more of our special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
While legions of the theologically clueless and politically correct fall over themselves in their rush to paint a warmer and kinder picture of Islam, you might well be wondering, what's really the truth? Hank Hanegraaff clearly answers the question in his new book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive the book, Muslim, as our thank you for your gift today, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. Supporting the work of the Christian Research Institute is now as easy as sending a text message. Here's how you can help by texting your gift directly to CRI. To make a one-time gift to help equip fellow believers through the ongoing work of CRI, text TRUTH in all capital letters to 41444. That's TRUTH to 41444. To become a CRI support team member and make a difference on a regular basis, text STANDING in all capital letters to 91999. Again, that is STANDING to 91999. We do what we do here at CRI because life and truth matter. And all of our outreaches are made possible by people like you standing shoulder to shoulder with us to make a difference for now and for eternity. God bless you. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI. Make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Increasingly, Western culture embraces confusion as a virtue and decries certainty as a sin. Those who are confused about sexuality and identity are viewed as heroes. Those who are confused about morality are progressive pioneers. Conversely, those who express certainty about any of these issues are seen as bigoted and intolerant. In Saving Truth, Finding Meaning and Clarity in a Post-Truth World, Abdu Murray responds to the confusion by offering gospel clarity that can touch the hearts and minds of those in our post-truth culture. To receive your copy of Saving Truth as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. or visit equip.org. For most Americans, pronouncements from our public officials that Islam is a religion of peace are impossible to reconcile with daily headlines and jarring photos of global Islamic jihadist atrocities. To help you understand the real Islam, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you his new book, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the Bible Answer Man broadcast and other life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. We are doing a deep dive today on Islam, the reason being is we are now in the month of Ramadan, and as I mentioned before the break, what should be plain to everyone whose eyes are open is that the consensus of Muslim jurisprudence mandates holy war in the name of Allah as a moral imperative. You know, there are only three solutions as far as Islam is concerned. You say the Shahada and you become a Muslim. The Shahada being there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his apostle, or you face subjugation so you can live under Islam. You pay the zakat or the jizya, you pay the poll tax, and then you are subdued. Or the third possibility, and this is becoming more and more of a graphic reality in the East, where Christians face mass genocide, the third possibility is the sword. So shahada, subjugation, or sword. And this jihadi prescription was personified by the life of Muhammad. But of course, it didn't end with the life of Muhammad. In 633, that's the year following Muhammad's death, Abu Bakr, who was the first Muslim caliph, waged jihad on the Fertile Crescent. A year later, Umar, the second caliph, continued the pattern of expansion by the sword. He not only succeeded in subduing the entire Arabian Peninsula, but he looted central Syria as well. Syria, of course, today in the news. In 635, Muslim warriors conquered Damascus as well as Pella, which, of course, provided refuge for Christians who, you know, the ones who heeded Christ's warning to flee when you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies. That was prior to the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. A year later, 633, Muslim armies captured substantial sections of Iraq. And in 637, the Persians were decisively broken. 638, Jerusalem itself, the epicenter of the Levant, fell victim to the Muslim juggernaut. And then Muslims advanced into Egypt in 639 and in 640 captured the city of Babylon near modern Cairo. 641, we had the major Christian Greek Roman city of Caesarea falling to Muslim aggression. Alexandria succumbs in 642 and 643, all of Armenia. And that was just the first decade following the death of Muhammad. Within mere decades of his death, the jihadi juggernaut had conquered Egypt, the breadbasket of the ancient classical Christian world, as well as Syria, its brain. And by 711, Arab armies defeated the king of Spain, and in less than 10 years, controlled most of its territory. If Jan Sobieski had not halted Muslim expansionism at the gates of Vienna on September 11, 1683, the whole of Europe would have fallen to Islam as well. This is a date that I think we ought to recognize, September 11. It's sort of as if with the September 11 attacks, 2001, there was this warning in the air. We are back. Osama likely picked that day intentionally. As horrifying as Muslim atrocities themselves, in the modern bent, we have another horror. Because what's happening here is the refashioning of 14 centuries of Islamic history. Andalusia in particular is being recast as the golden age of Islam. It's an age characterized, we are told, by tolerance, by multiculturalism, diversity, peace. Barack Obama famously was effusive in his praise. But he was not alone. With him are politicians and professors and pundits of all stripes who echo his sentiment. They recast Andalusia as a paradise in which Muslims lived in peaceful and tolerant harmony alongside Christians and Jews. And that narrative is no longer the stuff of ivory tower elites. It is now filtered down through all levels of society. And the question that begs an answer is why historically literate politicians like Obama continue to peddle the myth of an Andalusian paradise. I think Dario Fernandez Moreira was right when he suggested that it has to do with what psychologists call motivated blindness, a kind of blindness that inhibits an ability of an individual to perceive inconvenient data. Well, perhaps it simply is the result of shoddy research by a number of university professors repeated by many journalists. And so we drink the Kool-Aid. Or perhaps, and this is the most terrifying of all, perhaps what is really in play is a serious case of Christophobia. How else can you explain Obama's gratuitous comparison of the Islamic State's current terrorism tactic with the terrible deeds committed by Christians during the Crusades and the Inquisition, all the while failing to note that atrocities committed during the Crusades and Inquisition were despite Christian values, not because of Christian values. As Obama must surely know, in contrast to the Crusades, the atrocities committed by Muslims during 14 centuries of jihad, 14 centuries, they were directly mandated by Islamic law. Crusade historian Thomas Madden has documented that after centuries of jihad, Muslims had taken all of North Africa, the Middle East, Asia Minor, and most of Spain. In other words, by the end of the 11th century, the forces of Islam had captured two-thirds of the Christian world. Think about it. Palestine, the home of Jesus Christ. Egypt, of course, the birthplace of Christian monasticism. Asia Minor, where St. Paul planted the seeds of the first Christian communities. These were not the periphery of Christianity. This was the very core of Christianity. And thus, as far as unprovoked aggression goes, it was all on the Muslim side. At some point, what was left of the Christian world would have to defend itself or simply succumb to Islamic conquest. There's a classic monograph. It's called The Crusades, Christianity, and Islam. And in it, Jonathan Riley Smith underscored the transcendent distinction between jihad as mandated by Sharia and just war as delineated by centuries of Christian theology. And basically what he said is that for more than 2,000 years of Western history, violence, whether expressed in warfare, in armed rebellion, or in the employment of force as a state sanction, and whether wholly or merely illicit, has required three criteria in order to be considered legitimate. This is just war theory. The war cannot be, first of all, entered into lightly or for aggrandizement, but only for a legally sound reason, which has to be reactive. I think it's really important to point this out. It's not something that can be done lightly, and it must be reactive. It can't be proactive. The second aspect of just war theory is that it must be formally declared by an authority recognized as having the power to make such a declaration. And third, and this is the most important perhaps, is the war must be waged justly. In stark contrast, Sharia mandates proactive, perpetual war against Jews and Christians. First invite them to Islam, then invite them to pay the jizya, the tax on the kafirs. If they reject conversion and the jizya, well, then attack them. The consensus of Muslim jurisprudence in concert with the will of Allah mandates war as a religious duty. Why? Because of the universalism of the Muslim mission to convert everyone to Islam, either by persuasion or by force. In sum, the Islamic wars mandated by Sharia, like imperialist and fascist wars, are not only unjust and illegitimate, they are a plague on the landscape of humanity. And they will continue to be unless and until we awake from a politically correct slumber that relegates attacks such as those that took place in France and Indonesia to the back pages of newspapers and obsessively out of the mainstream of broadcasting. Mark my words. Muslim terror may have been in faraway places such as France and Indonesia this past weekend, but they will soon be front and center in America as well. And it doesn't take a prophet or the son of a prophet to make these kinds of predictions. All you have to do is look back to Muhammad's edicts and to 14 centuries of Islamic advance by the sword. The point here is that to misapprehend the facts in an age of Islamic terrorism, in an age of Islamic expansionism, is a price that the West simply cannot afford to pay. We're going to be back on the other side of the break with the quote of the day and much, much more as we continue this deep dive into the history of Islam. This is the month of Ramadan, and because it's the month of Ramadan, we can expect terror on every side. And the Muslims will tout this as a month of peace and a month of kindness, but it's towards other Muslims, not toward the outside world. That is, if you are consistent with the teachings of Muhammad. Again, we'll be back in just a few moments with the quote of the day and more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so please don't touch that dial.
For all the debate over Islam and its growing presence in the world, one thing is often overlooked. Islam is not a religion in the sanitized Western sense. It is, in contrast, an all-encompassing socio-political legal matrix that has bred a worldview antagonistic to anything but itself. While there may be millions of peaceful and tolerant Muslims, many of them are neighbors, Islam itself is hardly peaceful and tolerant. Read Hank Hanegraaff's new book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Increasingly, Western culture embraces confusion as a virtue and decries certainty as a sin. Those who are confused about sexuality and identity are viewed as heroes. Those who are confused about morality are progressive pioneers. Conversely, those who express certainty about any of these issues are seen as bigoted and intolerant. In Saving Truth, Finding Meaning and Clarity in a Post-Truth World, Abdu Murray responds to the confusion by offering gospel clarity that can touch the hearts and minds of those in our post-truth culture. To receive your copy of Saving Truth as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Supporting the work of the Christian Research Institute is now as easy as sending a text message. Here's how you can help by texting your gift directly to CRI. To make a one-time gift to help equip fellow believers through the ongoing work of CRI, text TRUTH in all capital letters to 41444. That's TRUTH to 41444. To become a CRI support team member and make a difference on a regular basis, text STANDING in all capital letters to 91999. Again, that is STANDING to 91999. We do what we do here at CRI because life and truth matter. And all of our outreaches are made possible by people like you standing shoulder to shoulder with us to make a difference for now and for eternity. God bless you. Ideas have consequences, and in the case of Islam, the consequences historically have been unimaginably brutal. To believe that Islam is a religion of peace is a potentially fatal fiction. This is the time for naive and trusting Christians to take their heads out of the sand. True Islam has zero appreciation for the freedoms of Western democracies and would substitute the dehumanizing oppression of Sharia law in a heartbeat if given the chance. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning new book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. The quote of the day comes from Quran 9:5, well described as the Surah of the Sword, because that is precisely what it is. And this is what you have Allah saying, the God of Islam saying in the Quran, fight and slay the pagans wherever you find them, and seize them, beleaguer them, and lie in wait for them in every stratagem of war. How different the words of Jesus Christ, who taught his disciples to love those that persecute them, to not just love your friends, but to love your enemies. If you love those who love you, said Jesus, what reward will you receive? Don't even pagans do that? And if you greet only your brothers. What are you doing more than others? Don't even pagans do that? Jesus taught his disciples to love those who despitefully use them. The contrast could not be clearer, and as Oz Guinness has rightly said, contrast is the mother of clarity. When we contrast Islam with Christianity, the difference is so stark that one can immediately see the difference, and yet in Western culture, we are being sold a myth. The myth that Islam is somehow or other a religious construct like other religious constructs. It is not. It is not a religion in the Western sanitized sense of the word. It is really a cultic construct that is borrowed from pagan ideologies, from Judaism, from Christianity. Even Ramadan is borrowed from paganism. In other words, there's a Ramadan before there was a Ramadan. And think about the major misapprehensions of Islam. First of all, there is a failure to apprehend the deity of Jesus Christ. In grave misapprehension, Islam renders Jesus Christ a mere slave of Allah. How different the Christian faith, in which we know that Jesus Christ is the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence, the one who had the power to lay down his life and to take it up again. When Jesus was asked the mother of all questions, Jesus had an answer. And this is the answer given through the mouth of Peter. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus is the creator of the universe. Jesus Christ is God, not a mere slave of Allah. In Islam, original sin is recast as, well, an original slip. It's recast as a mere bout of forgetfulness. How different the Christian view of original sin, in which all of humanity is born with a broken gene, the propensity towards evil. And in the grand meta-narrative of Scripture, we have a Savior that comes into the world and heals the broken gene. Out of this world in which we live with volition and oftentimes choose against the principles of God, which are available to all, will come the best of all possible worlds. A world in which we will forever be able not to sin. In Islam, the divine canon, the Bible, is subverted by the factual errors, by the faulty ethics, and by the feigned eloquence of the Quran. Here you have a book replete with terror being put on par with the Bible. Think about what Quran 8 says. I will instill terror into the hearts of the unbelievers. Smite ye above their necks. Ever wonder where the beheadings come from? And smite ye all their fingertips off them. Why the fingertips? Because in the wars that took place in the Arabian Peninsula, if you would take off someone's fingertips, you would render their hands useless in war. So this was one of the stratagems. When you meet the unbelievers, says the Quran, smite at their necks. And the Quranic verses go on and on. The first Muslim murder was received as a result of a Quranic revelation, when you meet the unbelievers, smite at their necks. So in 623, you have the first of millions and millions and millions of murders. And then you think about the incomprehensible Trinity, usurped by a morally defective Unitarian imposter. Why do I say that? I say that for one reason alone, and that is, independent of the universe, a Unitarian God is a morally defective God because the Unitarian God has no one to love. And therefore, the Muslim God is not a God of love. In fact, the Muslim God is not a God at all. It is simply the alter ego of Muhammad. How different the God, who is the uncaused first cause of all things, including Muhammad. In Islam, the resurrection, the greatest feat in human history, is demoted to mere fantasy. And the incarnation is deemed as blasphemy. The scintillating truth that anyone in Christ is a new creation is negated by a capricious Allah. And eschatology, well, eschatology, the thread that weaves the tapestry of the Bible into a harmonious pattern, it is ignominiously sullied by the sensual enticements of a largely incoherent Islamic eschatological charade. And yet, despite its incoherence, the Muslim cult, 1,600,000,000 strong, and some say it's much larger already, it's poised to fill a vacuum left by a Western culture slouching inexorably towards Gomorrah. So you have two sides to the coin. On the one hand, you have advancing Islam, Islam that is advancing through terrorist attacks, but also, never forget, it's advancing through migration without assimilation. This is like the python swallowing its prey with a long and slow digestion. The demographics are alarming. Polygamous Muslims, they have a robust birth rate. On the other side of the coin, you have native Westerners who are moving rapidly towards self-extinction. Why? Because the death rate exceeds the birth rate. So demographics, again, become alarming. And filling the void are multiplied millions of Muslims. They have no intention of assimilating into Western culture. They can't. If they are true to Islam, Sharia becomes state and state becomes Sharia. There is no division. You cannot have a division between church and state because Sharia is state and state is Sharia. And of course, as we are witnessing, I started out talking about this in the first segment of the broadcast today, we're already witnessing some of this draconian attack. And this is just, well, it's just the tip of the iceberg. Remember in the first segment, I talked about what happened on Saturday, and then on Sunday, and then on Monday. And Ramadan didn't start until Tuesday, in some places even later, like in Saudi Arabia, Thursday. But I mean, think about a Muslim father driving a bomb-laden car directly into a church. Or his sons, as I mentioned, riding a motorcycle into the grounds of another church and detonating explosives there. And a mother with young daughters attacking yet another Christian church with explosives wrapped around their waist. You cannot comprehend of this. It is beyond comprehension. It is simply something we can't comprehend. And the reason is because this is so far from the Judeo-Christian ethic. And yet, it is considered a service to Allah to fight the Christians, to fight the Jews, to fight the pagans. So the world view of Islam, while being sanitized in the West, is a worldview of terror. And we can only pray that this Ramadan we will be spared the violence of the Islamic sword. Again, I've written about all of this, not only in terms of the problem, but also in terms of the solutions. The solutions ultimately revolve around being able to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect, to be biblically literate, because a great many Muslims discount the Bible as the infallible rule of faith and practice because they mistake its meaning. When we say begotten, they think sexual procreation. Of course, we know this is a word that denotes special relationships. So biblical literacy is very, very important on the part of the Christian. And then we need to be able to counter the counterfeit. The counterfeit is always using linguistic subversion, theological perversion, sociological deviance. And we need to be able to counter that. It's not enough for us to be intellectually equipped. We need to be internally equipped during this anything but Christian moment, a moment in which Western civilization, the greatest mission-sending force in the history of the world, is being diminished, Islam being exalted. Well, we're out of time for this edition, the special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do you remember my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion? I take the complex, make it simple and transferable, the book available for those who support the ministry. And if you join CRI's monthly support team, I'd be pleased to personalize a copy to you, a family member or a friend. You can check that out on the web at equip.org, or again, write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. My thanks to all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth in this sort of politically correct environment. Thank you for allowing me a voice to tell the truth in the midst of the gathering storm. So long for now.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Increasingly, Western culture embraces confusion as a virtue and decries certainty as a sin. Those who are confused about sexuality and identity are viewed as heroes. Those who are confused about morality are progressive pioneers. Conversely, those who express certainty about any of these issues are seen as bigoted and intolerant. In Saving Truth, Finding Meaning and Clarity in a Post-Truth World, Abdu Murray responds to the confusion by offering gospel clarity that can touch the hearts and minds of those in our post-truth culture. To receive your copy of Saving Truth as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. www.christianresearch.org.